The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. And today is October 14th, 2014, and we're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And today, the big thing we've been talking about is A for aggression. But today, we got a first-time guest. Danielle Diesel is coming on to the show momentarily. She's a competitive power lifter and strong woman, and we're very pleased to have her on the show. So, Danielle, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thank you, Eric.
Well, it's good to have you here. Why don't you tell everybody, because this is the first time you've been on the show, so my listeners have not heard you before. I'm sure a lot of them know you from Facebook, but tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how you got into, you know, weightlifting primarily, and obviously you've gone two different directions, and I think that's very interesting. So lay it on us, kid.
All right. We get that question a lot, females in strength sports. I started, I guess it's a typical stereotype, had some issues in high school, and ended up in a weight room, actually. I was a straight-A student and ran into some issues, and I ended up in a weight room, fell in love with it, and I've been using it as a tool to handle aggression and anxiety, you know, ever since. And I just kind of fell in love with the sport and did very well with it. And then almost on accident, in a gym in Boston, and a kid, I still remember him, his name was Ponytail, skinny little kid, came up and said, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, well, nothing. He's like, do you want to compete in a strongman show? And I said, yeah, it sounds fun. And that's pretty much how I found it, completely on accident. So
that's cool, though. I mean, that right there will wake you up, just the show itself. You know, I mean, how many people get in the strongman? That's a very unique end of this sport, I think. Now, when you got it, so the strongman was first, and then you got into powerlifting too?
Yeah, but I actually just had my first powerlifting meet last weekend, and it was wonderful. It was an RPS meet, and it was up in Everett at the rec center run by Gene and Murph, and they did a great job with it, and Amy. It was a great show, and I ended up on the charts all over the place. I did really well at my first show. I ended up, I think, placing eighth. They haven't put up the results yet, but placing eighth pro in RPS meets, ninth. My score was a 930 overall, which placed me about ninth, and then 13th in the world, which is best of the best lifters, which is, I guess, all the federations combined. So as soon as that stuff goes up, should be up on powerlifting. Watch it do pretty well.
So. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you, I mean, do you got a preference which you like better, or are you going to just keep flip-flopping back and forth, or are you just going to work on one now strictly?
I think it might be powerlifting. I hate to upset my strongman followers, but I've been doing strongman for over 11 years. I won the national championship in 2005. I won the heavyweight title, and I love it. Yep. Don't get me wrong. I love the sport, but, you know, every now and then everybody needs like
a break.
Right. Or like a change or something to spice it up. I'm not going to quit strongman. I'm going to keep doing my strongman competitions and my strongman show, but I really did fall in love with those powerlifting, heavy lifts and that, you know, big numbers. That's where my heart is. And
if you're not in it to go heavy, go home, as they say, right?
Heck yeah, go heavy or go home.
That's the whole thing. I like strongman. I do mostly strongman stuff. I'm getting ready to go back to Iceland to lift the Husafell stone next year. This time, get the 50 meters with it. I mean, it's a beast. And I do most of my stuff dead stop in the rack. So I'm starting everything at a dead bottom. Like a squat will be in the, you know, the parallel position coming out of the hole with your max weight on. So I'm getting no rebound. Same way I do all my stuff on top. Obviously, a deadlift is a deadlift off the ground, whether you pull a partial or not. But I love strongman, and I can identify with you totally on that. Powerlifting, I've never really done. I think there's some magnificent people in that sport, and I've talked to a few different people on the show too. And I believe it was Bert Underwood I talked to. He was on the show one time, and you know, he was even telling me with all the powerlifting they do, and he's getting ready for a meet in November. They've worked strongman stuff even into what he's doing now. He's incorporating like tire flipping and farmer's walks and stuff of that nature. So they have now crossed one another, you think?
Oh, they've crossed all over the place. And some of the crosses are excellent. Some of the crosses I feel like CrossFit came into strongman, which is great and not so great, depending. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like a lot of the shows are getting lighter. The strongman shows are lighter, and I feel like that's cardio, man. I don't feel like that's strongman. I don't feel like there should be 8 medleys of lightweights and 9,000 repetitions. And that might have a lot to do with my recent, I guess, traveling to powerlifting. Like, I want heavy shows. I don't want to see a 100-pound log. Like, what is that? You know, I want to see.
Well, yeah, but you know what it is? It's They're trying to get an audience now. It's funny because I got into this with a couple people off air. If you look what's going on, kind of, I guess I'll use the word fitness. You know, everybody's always got some kind of new twist and turn and everything. And if you look at CrossFit, you know, you're probably good from, say, let's say 17, 18 years old till 30. If you try doing that kind of routine after that, chances are you'll be breaking yourself in a million pieces. And that's really the whole thing with it, because look at anybody that competes in, a guy or a gal. I mean, they're in pretty damn good shape. I don't agree with the real light stuff too, but it's a hell of a selling point, because you're looking at somebody and you're like, oh my God, look at the body on this or that or the other thing. And now what are they doing? Where, you know, if you're in strongman and you're like really, really into it, you're going to get byproduct of training with that, with your body. That's just the way it is. I mean, if you're putting a 300-pound log over your head, I dare anybody to tell you you're not going to be pretty muscular, you know, at whatever weight you're doing.
Right.
So I think it's more of a sideshow with this, where they're making a lot of money. And then, you know, once it went to ESPN, because suddenly they decided that the world's strongest man, they're all taking steroids, and we can't have that on our channel. Well, if that's the case, then they can pretty much abolish ESPN, okay? So that really pissed me off, because that was such a contradiction there. And then, you know, I watched the CrossFit stuff, which doesn't interest me at all. I have no interest in that whatsoever. So that's kind of like where we are now. And I can understand why, you know, you're not going to leave the sport, but I do understand why maybe you do need a change.
I do. A lot of the local shows, they're light. They're real light, and I want to see hardcore heavy max weights. I don't want to see, you know, and I respect CrossFit. I'm not one of those athletes that's always trashing it, and I don't like it. No, I did a workout, a WOD the other day that I, like, it kicked my butt. Like, I'm not going to say I could walk into CrossFit and dominate the sport. Like, it kicks my butt. It's a hard workout, don't get me wrong, but I'm in strongman to be in strongman. If I want to play around in CrossFit, I'll go do CrossFit. I don't necessarily want to see a merging of the sport. But there are heavy shows. I mean, you just got to look for them, you know. And
yeah, well, it's like anything, you know. But the thing is, I'm almost glad. I hope it never will to a point. But I wouldn't care if powerlifting and strongman went back underground again.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat, actually.
because you know what? The sport, after a while, you get tired of the same old crap and the same old people. It's like sometimes the best kept secret is in that garage that, you know, lives next door to you, where you're like, what the hell are these guys doing out there?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're watching, you know, people lift big rocks, or they're bending steel, or they're breaking horseshoes. That's the kind of stuff I like. I mean, my next incarnation, definitely, I've started bending. And I love doing it. Down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm going to start breaking chains, you know, wrap them around the chest and learn how to snap them. It's going to be more going that way. If I had my way, I'd be pounding anvils every day. That's where I'm gravitating now more and more towards. Kind of like that old working style, you know, turning wrenches, where those guys and gals back then, they were brutal. I mean, you talk about strong people. Different type of strength, but still mighty strong.
You know who might be? Dimitar Savatanov did a lot of that circus strongman type stuff. I don't know if you've ever interviewed him, but I bet he'd have a lot to say about that.
I'd love to have somebody like that on. I mean, that's what we're doing here. We're branching out all over. I've had a couple girls on before. I had Amy Payne on, and I had Amanda Ballou on, and they were really good. They were great guests, and people really, really liked them. I mean, I got great feedback, and, you know, let's face it, this is a sport which is emerging with women now, and there's a lot of good, solid lifters out there, and I just kind of like the way things are starting to turn. You know, it's all over the place now, and it's like everything. There's good and bad with guys and gals all over that you could care less about, but I like the ones that aren't afraid to take a stand. You know, they know what they're talking about, and it's like it's real enjoyable to exchange ideas.
Absolutely. And we talked about, like, the negatives of CrossFit coming into the sport, and there's also positives, too. I mean, there's a show coming up in Connecticut, you know, which is where I'm from, and it had originally, like, maybe 20, 30 members. I think she has something like 72 competitors. Is that about the number? Stephanie, and all females. Females. It's called Battle of the Bells. Stephanie Trepay is putting it on, and you know, that has to have a lot to do with it. Like, females coming into the sport, wow, this is neat. Maybe I can do this. Maybe they don't all look like, oh, here it comes, like half a guy. You know, you can't be a girl and, you know, compete and, you know, have a good time with it. And so, you know, there are some pluses. You're really pulling in people into the sport that wouldn't necessarily have, you know.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
That's good.
Yeah, because you get a lot of women. You know, like I trained some of them here, and I've had enough experience where a lot of girls aren't real comfortable in a commercial gym. And I this is what I get a lot of times. I don't like people looking at me.
Right.
All right. Well, I understand. Okay. I got you. But if you're going to sign up and go to a commercial gym, you got to expect that. Does that mean you got to like it? Does that mean it's right? No. But that's just human nature. And you're right. CrossFit has given the ability to women probably all over the friggin' world there that normally would not come into a more of a quote-unquote man's commercial gym and do stuff, where this way they're in an environment where everybody's kind of maybe on the same page, or they're working together to get to that page. So it makes it a lot better experience for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been going around to these gyms for like years, you know, and I've never seen maybe more than one girl in a gym. Yep. This gym that I'm at now is Just Performance Fitness. They have on Tuesday night. One night I walked in here, there was well over 20 girls in a strongman class that Kelly Morgan was running. It was, I've never seen anything like it. And all these girls are, you know, throwing around Atlas stones and running up. And it was really great to see, you know, more than more than me in the weight room.
Well, yeah, and you know what the thing is, too? I have a girl that's been talking to me about she wants to go on another bodybuilding show, all right? And she's in her late 40s, and she's real interested in strongman. And I said, I can tell you this. I'll train you for your contest just doing strongman work. Obviously, we'll use some barbells. You got to still, you know, go with basic things. But I could train her. I'm training a guy right now that last year I knocked 43 pounds off him. He was pre-diabetic. I blew him from 267 down to 224. We beat our mark by 1 pound in 6 months, and that was November of last year. And he's held it, you know, to this point. We just started 3 weeks ago. He's only put a pound on, 225, which is exemplary for, you know, most people will blow it and get all fat and whatever they got to do again. So what we're doing now is I've got him doing a few, you know, just squats, deadlifts, trap work, neck work, trying to bring in more of the muscles or the showy stuff. But I'm training him here one day a week strictly on stones, thick bar work, and obviously we're doing a lot of overhead holds with logs. So that's how I'm training his midsection or gut. I won't call it core because I hate that word. So this guy I'm going to take from 225, and by Christmas he'll be down probably around 212, and this guy will be ripped to shreds, more muscular, faster, more enduring, and stronger than he's ever been in his life. So the correlation I'm saying between that and more women in the gym is this. Whether they're in CrossFit or whatever they've joined now, they understand that you don't have to go and lift a 500-pound rock to have results. You know, you could take a woman if she could only handle a 50-pound sandbag and then work to a rock and add in all the other features she wants to do with that. You can get in not only a hell of a good shape, you can have a beautiful physique. That is functional, too. And that's what I always try to do with anybody I work with.
Yeah, that's my thoughts. I mean, if you train properly, there's no reason that you can't do powerlifting, strongman, bodybuilding, and perform well in all of the sports. CrossFit will probably be my last play, but I plan on doing that this year. I plan on doing strongman shows to the top, but, you know, with some powerlifting meets and going to the top with that. And maybe a bodybuilding show, too, because I think if you do it right, I'm going to – this is spring, I think – a local gym around here actually has a bunch of people doing a bodybuilding show. We might have a couple guys here, too, at NPC Connecticut, possibly, in the spring. And there's no reason that with the right diet that you can't functionally train for all of the above. You know.
Well, well, not only that, with your background and you go on that type of diet, you ought to clean the stage up.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, Josh is right here with me. He's my trainer. And he said that it's not going to be too, you know, it's going to be mostly diet and cutting. I mean, all the size and the foundation, the function, is like, I'm already there. From strength training and the powerlifting. So, you know.
Well, that's the whole thing because you've got the basics. You've got, like you said, the foundation to do this. And a lot of people you're going to be competing against obviously aren't going to have the years and you've got or have gone to the extent of training that you've gone to. And, you know, when you get into stuff like that, that's going to give you a big edge. I mean, a big, big edge.
Yeah. Something to be said for that, you know, that muscle memory cell. And
Yeah. And you know something, it, depending on how you're going to do things, too, I mean, it's going to really give your body probably a chance to go in a different direction where if you got little nicks and bangs and this and that, and however you're going to train regardless for a show like that, it might be very good for you just from a you know, an economical standpoint where, hey, look, I went in this meet and, you know, my body hasn't felt this good in X number of months or years. I'm ready now to go tackle powerlifting even harder now.
Yeah, I did feel great. The numbers that I put up were all PRs at that meet. I'm a massive adrenaline junkie. So I got to that meet and, like, smoked everything. And if I listened to commands, I probably would have even done better. I actually ended up benching 240.
And, what do you squat and deadlift? What are you doing right now?
My squat was a PR, was 315. And anybody that knows me will tell you, I used to squat, like, 700 pounds, but they were these horrible, like, half squats,
yeah.
Right, so I didn't start training to depth until June, July of this year. And, you know, so for that short of a time, I ended up squatting 315, which was, and it felt like easy. So it's finally just starting to, you know, to click,
Yeah. So what do you deadlift to?
I did 375 at the meet, and it was easy, nice. So I should be climbing. I'm shooting for some big numbers at Raw Unity in Florida.
Okay. When are you going into your next power meet?
I think I'm going to not do, historically, I'll do like 2-3 shows a month because I'm just crazy like that. But I think I'm going to really take it down a notch and focus on less shows and higher output at the shows and maybe more, you know, I don't know, function specific training. Is that what we call that? You know, where we can just. Sports-specific training where I can focus on exact numbers, how to get there, and then when Josh Pratt and Nick Branson do my programming, they can really isolate it so I can get much better results, you know. So I'm going to really shoot for that Raw Unity meet coming up. I think that's around February sometime.
Oh, okay.
Really
focus on that. You got plenty of time.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm still doing my strongman shows. Matt Mills is putting on one of our favorite heavy shows, you know, where the weights are actually heavy.
Yep.
That's Lightning Fitness Couples that's coming up in December. I'm going to do that show. but I'm going to try to stay away from too many of the,
right,
you know, the lighter shows.
Yeah, not only that, you know, it's nice to give yourself a little chance to kind of back off things too mentally.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I like to get in with people too. How much does the mental game play with you? Obviously, your first meet you went into, you did very well. How did you get yourself set mentally for stuff like this? Because, I mean, this isn't just something you're going to do a day or two before you enter a powerlifting meet or a strongman meet or whatever. How long were you preparing for it, and did you feel you had success with what you did?
The whole time. I am a massive, like, in all my years of competing, I've never really been like a head case. I show up, dominate. It is what it is. But like you said, with CrossFit coming into all the sports, a lot more athletes, a lot more competition, head games have become a bigger issue. You know, well, why did she win? And then I'm starting to analyze and overanalyze and figure right. it out. Also came back to strongman with a lot of downtime. So I had a lot of, I don't know if it's injuries, restrictions, or I don't know what, you know, what it was. I came back to the gym in June, July of this year, and it was a nightmare. Like, I could, my number.
This is what I used to do.
Yes, and Josh is standing next to me, and I say, this is what I used to do, and I'm getting very frustrated and upset because my numbers weren't there at all, and they weren't climbing. So we literally stripped everything and started from the ground up, and that was a very hard process for me, and a lot of athletes have to do it, you know. Just the fact that they took sumo squat out of strongman, I'm like, but that's how I do everything. I don't know how to do anything without a sumo squat. Had to strip that and start from the ground up. And I was putting like two plates on, and I'm like, no, this isn't right. I deadlift 400 or 500 pounds. This isn't okay. I'm not okay with this.
Right.
And it was a real process for me. But after doing that and fighting a lot of head games, Josh had his hands full when I came back because I was mad. I walked out of this gym mad every day, like I wasn't hitting my numbers. I'm never going to do this again. I'm too old, or maybe I can't come back because I had kids. A lot of head games. And once I started getting over those, then it became the, you know.
Let's get at it, right?
Yeah, and I had that fire and that energy. But then I've been in the sport for 10 years. Everybody expects a certain somebody that's my caliber. Now I'm going into these shows going, now I have to perform perfect. And there was the perfectionism element. So lots of head games. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into these shows than what people think. So,
well, I you know, everybody's got head games. I've had, and you've probably done it too. I mean, I've got my own place. I do it right out of a garage, and I've got everything that I need in there and outside. So the power rack pretty much is my best friend, because you're not going to find a lot of people that want to do dead stop stuff and lift rocks. I mean, I've got a few of them who come over, but not on a regular basis. And I've had those nights, and I'm sure you've already talked about some of the stuff you've dealt with mentally. Have you ever had one of those days that no matter what you touched, it was horrible, man? It was like things that were so easy, and it wasn't anything in respect to overtraining either. You went out there and you just were terrible. And I'll sit out there and I'll scream at myself. And I mean, and I'll say horrible things at myself sometimes. And I'm like, hey, man, you got to stop this stuff. You know, it's like, give yourself a break. Sometimes you have days like that and you got to correct it. But, you know, I've done things where I'll go right through the workout and get through it, or I'll just take the stuff, strip the bar down and walk out. And that's it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, or strip the weight to where it's so
cheap. Right.
You're looking
super
at it going,
light.
I should be able to do this in my sleep and then still not be able to move it. And everybody has days like that. In fact, if you watch my Facebook account, which is under Danielle Diesel, I post videos that are not just successes.
Right.
I post the fails because that's reality. We don't all walk into the gym and bench 300 pounds every day of the week. We have light days. We have heavy days. We have days that we really do horrible. We eat hard and we fall over backwards or go to the ground on our squat and wake up laughing. And there's a lot of that, you know.
Yep. I've done that with deadlifts. I pulled so hard I fell right on my ass. Boom. That was it. And and that was in the days when we used to be at this real hardcore gym called the Steel Pier. And that was one nasty gym. And, you know, when we were kids there, I mean, people don't realize it. You know, you see the end result a lot of times, right? We see Danielle go in and just crush everything in a powerlifting meet. But, you know, you don't see stuff like when you walk in there and you're, like, looking around like, I don't even want to be here today, you know. Or, you know, when we used to go there, the older guys would beat us up all the time and stuff, you know. And it's like, you got to be a knucklehead to keep going back and wanting to do that. But you know something, when you got that drive and fire in you, and anybody that's been successful with weightlifting, powerlifting, strongman, and I don't even mean at a national level, because there's a lot of good people that are sitting in garages and cellars that are real good. And I've met a lot of them. And you know what? They don't want notoriety. They don't give a damn about it. But I'll tell you what, some of them sent me video and things like that. I had a guy from Boston the other day. He's a fireman. And great guy. He's called me a number of times. So he sends me a video. And this 330-pound granite stone's been kicking his butt for, I think, over a year. so he throws his recorder on. And he goes out there. Now, he's just in street clothes. He's got a pair of pants on. I think he may have been jeans and a white T-shirt, you know. So he throws this thing on, and he's talking away, and he says, "Well, today I feel it. Did you ever feel it?" And I'm like, I'm shaking my head, "Yeah, yeah." Well, you know something? He fought with this thing, but the dude nailed it. He stood right up with 330 pounds, and that's like the stuff I'm talking about. It's like it's pretty cool to meet people that, you know, you don't really know that are very, very good and very interested in the sport to the point where, you know, they like to show people they can do things. And this guy wasn't doing anything to, like, brag. But I told him, I said, you ought to brag all you want about it, because you talk about a feat of strength. And he was talking about, like, his wife works out. He's got his one son, which I think is really cool. I think his boy's, like, 7 or 8. And he's got a tree out in the back of the house. They live in Boston near the dunes. And he says what he has him do every day is bend that tree, and he wants him sooner or later break it. And he said once he can break it, he gets $100. So, yeah, I thought that was cool as hell. And it's like not only that, you know, his wife, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times. I have, probably Josh has, everybody listening to this. How many times do you hear this? Why the hell do you do that?
Oh, God, and I'm all like, the time, right?
Oh, I'm like, wow, you know. No, so, I tell me, like, experience-wise, I mean, isn't it just great to be in the game, regardless if you're competing, you know, nationally, internationally, or you're just some guy or gal that's really good, you never heard of, and's out there doing it and just spreading the word?
You know what? You're absolutely correct. Like, some of my best days are not even at competitions, are in the gym when I don't have to worry about, okay, I've got a competition coming up in 2 weeks, so I have to hit this weight at this time and whatever. I'm just there, and I'm hitting it, and I'm hitting it harder, and I'm climbing, and I'm like, Josh, can I go heavy? And I'm always asking Josh, can I go heavy? Because he's the one that has to say, no, moron, your body needs some time to recover. You got to dial it back 10 notches. I'm like, come on, it feels good. I want it heavy. Yeah, like, yeah. You can't go heavy. Yep. All the time, yep. Danielle. But those, that's me. He's making fun of me right now. He's like, can we max out every week? I'm like, that's me.
That's okay.
But, you know, some of my favorite days are those days when we're not worrying about numbers, you know, when I'm on a, you know, load week where I'm real heavy and it's my max week, and I'm not worried about shows coming up or whatever. I'm just excited. The weight's climbing. It feels good. And that's my favorite time. But don't get me wrong, because I'm an adrenaline junkie and those shows are
But you know something, everything you're doing there with the enjoyment's all building to the show too.
That's true.
That's the thing. I mean, when I competed in 08 in Iceland, I tore my bicep lifting a stone. And that was the first major injury I ever had. And it's like, you know, you sit, when you're sitting there in the ER and you're watching your bicep get all black and blue and your whole arm basically, you know, what's going through your head? I'll tell you the first thing, and I don't even really like talking and bringing this back into anything, but this is going to all reflect to what we were just saying. When you're sitting there, the first thing you're saying is, I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to lift again.
It's the first thing that comes into your mind, and it should be all these other things, but it's not. When can I compete again? How long is this going to take me out?
Yep. And it's an awful thing to You know, this is a sport like yourself, I'm sure. I mean, I can't speak for you, but just talking to you, I can tell your passion for it. You love this stuff big time, and it's really a part of you. And by this, I mean, to me, lifting weights, lifting stones, it's as much as getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, you know, and doing whatever you got to do to start you got kids, you got to get your kids off to school, all that stuff. But lifting to me is the base of everything I do. And I just can't imagine life without it. And there's going to be some time it might happen, you know, but I hope it's another 50 years, at least for me. And when I was sitting there, I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to lift again, you know? And I'm like, I was like, just, I don't know. I was just, I don't want to say like shattered inside, but I was mentally hurt bad. And the thing I know, because I've known people have had severe injuries, sometimes you can repair the injury, but you can't repair the mind.
Exactly.
And that's what I was, I knew I was always strong mentally, and I knew, but I never had anything major like that where I knew I was going to have to sit out for at least probably, you know, or do something very easy for the next 3 months, you know, and rehab it and everything. So I guess the question is, what do you, when you have things, I mean, how do you handle things? We just talked about the shattering mentally, and can you come back? I mean, obviously I came back, and I've lifted huge things. You know, we're getting ready to go to Iceland again. I went to Iceland in 11. But at first you're always a little bit sketchy where, you know, I'll go to pull something, and I might feel a little twinge, and I'm like, oh, no, you know. But I wanted it bad enough where I got rid of it. And I don't even think about it, you know, other than telling people, because when we're talking about stuff like this, it doesn't even enter the mind anymore. So I've flushed it pretty much. But what about yourself? I mean, you've probably had things here and there. How did you handle that adversity in your mind?
I had, talking about kids and everything like that. I actually did a show that was super, super heavy in the TPS, Total Performance Sports Shows. You know his shows are always heavy. Okay. Murph is the man. But so we just did a show in August. I was a coach for tap gymnastics and everything else. I was a coach for little kids. And so I needed my body and everything to work. And I did this show, and I was hurt and I was sore. And I was just jogging down the road, you know, with my kids. I had a wagon behind me. I was pulling them, just being silly. And I just stepped the wrong way, and my foot shattered. Like, it just a ligament, externally version sprain, but the ligament ripped a chunk of the bone, and it, like, you know, spread, and there was a, you know, spider fracture, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how hardcore I am. I went to the emergency room, and I'm like, yeah, you can't put a cast on that. And they're like, why? Because I need it. I got to compete, and I've got tap lessons, and I've got to do gymnastics. And the guy looked at me like I had 10 heads. one of those walking cast things. And he's like, you know, you can't, you know, use this right now. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then I left, and then I had this whole thing for my mom, my husband, everybody, know, why are you doing this? You have kids, you need you got to support them. And that has to be, as a female in the sports, one of the hardest things to overcome is, how much time do I give to my husband, per se? How much time do I give to my kids? I still have to take care of the house. But this is my life. You know, this is what I feel. This is my passion. This is where my heart is. You know, it is in the sport. But being able to balance it, you know, as being an effective wife, as being an effective mother, you know, making sure you have time to manage my son's baseball team, to coach gymnastics, to coach all the other sports that he does, and then, you know, work on top of it. It's a really hard balance for a woman, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's any less for a guy, but, you know.
No. Roles are different, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the house is on you. I mean, unless you have a, you know,
somebody come in and clean it for you.
Yeah, let's say we save like $180,000 a year, and we have people to do that stuff for us. We don't. We live in a trailer. Everybody knows I'm broke. Right. I have no money. You know, it's not really a hidden secret or anything. But, you know, so it's on us, fixing cars, cleaning the house, and it's tough when I'm doing competitions. It falls on, you know, my husband and. Yep. Nobody really wants that. So
no, but that's part. That's all kind of part of the package. You know, you know what you got into. So it's a little too late to complain now, right?
Right. You met me. I just won the national championship, so you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah. So I mean, let's face it. Anybody that works out, guys, are girls, how do I want to put this? Sometimes there's a lot to be desired because the two of you a lot of times are the same but opposite. And that can sometimes, how do I want to put it, create
more tension.
More tension or misunderstanding. Let's put I could say something, but I'm not. It's G-rated, so I want to keep it that way. iTunes will shut me down if I don't look out because we've been having some language problems here lately with not only myself and other people because we start getting driven so hard. Suddenly we're like in the weight room talking to each other, and I can't do that anymore.
I had a meet the other day, I feel horrible about it. I coach little kids gymnastics. I'm in mommy mode, and everything's, G-rated, and I have little, son of a bisquick maker for the bad words, and, But then when you're in the gym, it's rah, rah, rah,
Push four-letter, it's like four-letter heaven there, man.
Push that
That's what it is.
Blah, 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 up, and I'm screaming at a meet, and I'm like, ooh, sorry, my bad, it happens.
Well, and when you've got that kind of drive and, you like you said, there's a lot of tension going on with you, you want to do the best you can, you want to push others. I mean, that's just the way it is. How are you going to sit there and just, be all docile and say, oh, I hope you do good? I'd be like, get out of here. You know what I mean? It's like,
but you're not
helping. I don't want any of that because something I think now too, especially that's great. You're involved with kids. We're going to be doing a show in the first quarter, I believe next year. And that might be something we're going to contact you on. If you like doing this today, we're going to do a motivation and muscle show for kids.
Oh, I am so there. I coach. I have a competition acrobatics team I work with Wednesday nights. I coach gymnastics competition for years. I'm there for you.
We got a lot of good stuff coming up. It's just, we're kind of launching everything now. We've done a new site, Motivation and Muscle. We're redoing the main site now, and we've got a weight loss product coming out probably before the end of the year that I did with Dennis, that gentleman that lost 43 pounds. Very unique, not like a lot, the stuff you're going to see on the Jillian show. Granted, she's a multimillionaire. I give her credit for it, but you're not going to see models that are, I'm not going to say what they're doing or taking. And, they're probably on starvation diet too. It was nothing like that. So we've got that and we've got a lot of good things, but, getting back to this, I like the idea, especially you working with kids, because, I have nieces and nephews, and they're all from, 12 years down to 4. It's a lot of fun to work with kids and help them. I'm never pushy with them. They seem to like to come to me. They know what I do. And they're involved. My niece now is running cross country, and she's only 12. She's run with all their kids. I mean, she's come I think the last race they had 79 kids. I think she came in 21. I mean, that's pretty good for a kid that's just started out. But the point of the matter is this with the younger ones, it's just kind of fun to feed them, good positive reinforcement. And even I do with my little nephew, Danny, I'd have him carry little rocks back and forth, drop them, pick them up, squat them, just like you'd lay them on your thighs and go with it.
Absolutely.
And they love it, man.
Yeah, they do. And it's not doing anything to hurt them. My son flips Scotch Dakota truck tires when I do those big, 500-600-pound tires, and he's, and I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. They both play elite hockey. They're athletes. But they get right next to me with the, the little truck tires. Yeah. Nothing major,
But you're putting, what you're doing, though, you're their mother, too. I mean, I'm the uncle, obviously. But the nice thing is, without even really having to say much, and even when you do, you might not think they're getting it, but they are grabbing on to it. But the nice thing is by showing them that type of athletic event, and you'll hear people say, like I said before, why do you do it? Or, this is why I do it, because they don't necessarily have to be a power lifter, world's strongest man, bodybuilder, whatever they want to do. The lessons they're getting today is going to bring it over to their life no matter what career they choose. And if they get enough of this action all the time and this feeding like this, you know, you don't know what could happen to any kid. Any kid could come from a good family and go bad or whatever. But I think the instances of them not having good success is going to be minimal at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I like to work with kids that are going through struggles because you know what? Kids go through stuff that we don't go through as adults. Like they have, they'll be in this, you know, socio group or whatever of, you know, 15, 20 kids and they're mean. Like,
yeah, they are.
I've been coaching, you know, teens, preteens for a long time. They can be horrible. And there's always going to be one or two kids that has so much potential, but that group is shutting them down. Why do you think they're shutting them down? Those two kids have potential. They see it. And they'll get shut down. These kids are hiding themselves in bathrooms. I worked with girls that were, you know, dealing with horrible things, cutting themselves, anorexia, bulimia, whatever, because you know, they're shutting down. So giving them things like strongman and strength training and positive reinforcement and believing in yourself and letting them know that it's okay not to look like the girls that you, you know, open those magazines and they're like 103 pounds. And it's okay not to look like that. You can still be attractive and feminine and wonderful and successful and not look like that. So, you know, it's a really good thing to pound these things into the kids and that positive reinforcement you were talking about because, you know what, they need to hear that. And they go against things that we don't see. You're not going to see a bunch of people in the gym talking behind our backs or saying horrible things because you're an adult. And at that point, you don't care. And people
you don't care,
and they stop doing it, you know?
No, you're right. And you know something, confidence is a big factor. And that, you know, if you look around right now, I mean, everything is like you can't or don't. Right. It's like, no. You know what you need to do is you need to go find mentors that are going to say you can and you will. And this is what I feel is lacking a lot with, and it's even with adults. I mean, I know, you know, I know guys and girls. I know it's like you'll meet somebody and it's like you might talk to them for a little while, but you can already feel the baggage. You know, it's like, all right, so whatever happened 6 months ago, that doesn't mean it's going to happen today. And, you know, a lot of people hide behind like a physique. You know, you'll see a lot, you know, I'll just say, obviously, because I love girls, I've met many that, you know, you go out with them and they could be anything, CrossFit, they could just be in good shape, they could do anything, but that's all right for a while. But then you start really kind of peeling back and it's like, this isn't any good. You know what I mean? It's like, some people can't get away from whatever was going on with them prior to everything. And, you know, if you can't take care of that yourself, you're never going to be good for yourself or anybody else.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you have to overcome those confidence issues and stuff like that. Absolutely. For example, and I am a girl, so I'll just go off.
Yeah, well, we know that.
Disgusting. Well, thanks. We know. Good to know. But, my dad was very pivotal. You know, from a kid, I had to do push-ups when I was in trouble. Instead of going to your room, he thought that was a very silly punishment. Like, you send it to your room, big deal. It's a bunch of toys. How is that a punishment? I want you to do push-ups until your arms fatigue and you're bawling your eyes out that you can go to your room and don't come out until you're done thinking about it. And I went to sleep, and that's how I went to bed if I messed up. And, you know, it built strength, you know, and then he used to, you know, whenever I was out, of course, with all his like, biker buddies or whatever, I said to my daughter, "Can I arm wrestle you or out push up you or whatever?" And I always did. And I think as a younger age, it was always, you know, them letting me win. As an older age, I was actually beating up guys, taking down biker buddies, and you know, they were half, you know, drunk, so you know, whatever, a little easier, but whatever. But yeah, so my dad, you know, was not maybe mainstream as it was, you know, built this confidence in me as a woman, you know, as a little girl, like from being a little girl, you know. But
well, you know, the thing is, the confidence is cool and it's good. You know what I like? I like lifters. It doesn't matter who it is, especially like women that lift. It's like this: if you've built a real confidence and not some kind of baloney somebody's been pushing out there forever. Because you can see right through that crap. Because how many people do you know that they get into something like this, you know, powerlifting, strong woman, whatever, and they put on a good show, but when you know, you got to nail the rubber to the road, They suck, basically. They fall apart. They start bawling. And I'm like, what happened to the big, strong woman here?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, where did that go? You don't mind, like, you know, kicking somebody right in the backside. But when it comes to, like, you've got pressure on you or somebody has really got your number, why can't you deal with it now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know too many female strength athletes that don't, you know, carry it over into the rest of their lives because, you know, for me, I mean, it gives me what I need to get through my everyday life. My life is not so easy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, financially, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that, you know, just really tough, you know, that other people would have given up and thrown the gloves in a long time ago. It keeps me going.
And it always will. That's the thing. I've always said, you know, I was always a big fan of, like, John Grimmick from New York Barbell days. I mean, when he was in his 80s, he was still squatting in the mid-threes. That's how I want to see myself, that I've got enough horsepower still in me. You know, maybe I can't do the things I did before, but you're still walking around strong and powerful. And that means a lot.
Yeah,
you still – it's like, you know something? It's like, I don't want to ever spend a day in an old folks' home. I mean, I remember going to see my grandmother and my aunt. Nothing against those poor old people, but I couldn't wait to get out of there because it was like I'd take about 50 deep breaths of cold air because the smell in those places alone, the food, all that, I used to want to gag, man. And it was like you see these poor people, you know, and there's nothing against places like that. They need a place to go and to be taken care of. But you see them in a wheelchair, and, you know, they're leaning to one side and all that. I'm, like, saying to myself, I'd rather go on the friggin' platform, man, than I'll never be a candidate to do something like that. Because we got into a show a few weeks ago about how do you see yourself in 20 years? And, you know, and number one, I can't anyways because I don't have a fortune teller. You know, I'm not a fortune teller. But let me put it to you this way, and then we'll let you go with it. You know, a lot of it was like, well, you know, probably going to get into more body weight stuff, which is fine. I do a lot of body weight stuff, warm up, all that, this, that, and the other thing.
Heck no, we got master's categories in powerlifting.
No kidding. That's the thing. But this is the greatest thing. This is what I said to them all because it was like three other people. I said, you know what my biggest problem is going to always be? And they're like, what? I said, I am never going to surrender mentally.
No.
And I said, that's going to be the Achilles heel that kills me because that'll be the damn day, you know, I'm only going to be able to do this, that, and the other thing because you know I'm going to go after it. And it probably will murder me at that point. But I don't want to sit there and pretend and tell people, well, you know, at one time I could lift a 418-pound stone and walk 50 meters. They're going to look at me and say, yeah, right, old man. So that's going to be my mental – stubbornness is always going to be, well, it's going to be a factor that's going to be good or bad. It depends on where I am in 20 years. So what about you, Danielle? What do you think?
In 20 years, I'm going to
what do you
the
think?
Same thing I'm doing now, and I'm going to be doing
that's
better
awesome.
At it.
That's awesome. See, that's the attitude to have. See, I see too many people. It's the runaway.
No way. You know what? Yeah. I came back after two C-sections. Two kids, and everyone's like, you can't do that. You're going to have no core you hate that word, but.
I don't care. Go ahead.
It was a fight. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a fight. Like, my stomach was not the same when I came back at all. But so it
Absolutely.
Was a fight, but I did it. And you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. And there's nothing that I can't come back from, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, I don't think that – I don't know how many comebacks I had. I might have called myself the comeback kid or whatever. But, you know, I'm going to keep doing that because – this is the staple in my entire life. It has always been my staple. It's been my peace of mind, my tranquility, you know. I don't see a psychiatrist. I don't know, you know.
You don't need one.
I don't. I have my barbells. I don't, you know, I don't need medications. I have barbells, you know. But if I didn't, I'd probably be like, you know, owing CVS like a grand a month.
Either that or you'd be laying on a leather couch, man, and the dummy be standing there like, okay, so
stuff
what happened?
Donuts,
you know,
in my mouth.
Yeah. No, and you know something? That's the thing. Like, people don't understand what I like the word physical culture because the way it encompasses stuff. It's like this is the messages we're trying to get out on this show, and eventually when we do the kids show, is you ought to come along and try it. You don't have to power lift. You don't have to stone lift. You don't have to bench, 950. You don't have to do any of that. How about just coming out, and we'll get you in shape with calisthenics, and then, why don't you try a little weight training? Because I don't care what they put out there. A barbell is still the best piece of equipment ever made, at least in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And it's like, if you can do marvelous things with a set of squat racks and an Olympic bar, or if you don't do that, you get a standard 1-inch bar. And how hard is it to do things like that? To take a barbell, get in position and pull and stand straight up with it. Or how about learn how to power clean and put it over your head? How hard is it to put it on your shoulders? Look back in the old days. I mean, these guys are power cleaning it, dumping it on their shoulders and squatting. I mean, the thing is, it's going to do a lot more for you than just physically put you where you need to be. That whole mental aspect we talked about, not spending $1,000 at CVS a month because your head is so spun out that you can't get it together and you don't have the discipline anymore to even – You know things that you're eating are poor for you. Maybe you'll be one of the ones you see some of these old guys, they'll smoke till they're 95, they don't get cancer, where somebody that's never done anything at 50, they're dead. Once again, that's a gene pool thing to a point. But my whole point is, why don't you just come along and try it? It's there. It's very simple to do as far as what you need for equipment. You don't need a ton of stuff. I mean, when you're in it like that. And the opportunities to grow mentally and physically, there's nothing – I don't believe there's any sport out there. If you really analyzed every sport, there's nothing out there that will touch weightlifting.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I've done them. I mean, I've done gymnastics and tootled with dance for a little while and, some softball here and there. I even played rugby in college. But nothing comes near the weight room, and that's why it's a staple. It's always going to be that staple in my life. I don't care if I'm 90, 50, 40, 30, 20.
Exactly.
Not to give away my age, but I'm a junior, submasters in some kind of sports, but I refuse to even compete submasters. Even if I'm going to compete open, and I'm going to still kill it, and hopefully be still killing it at 80. We've got one of those women, I don't know if you've ever interviewed, do you remember Mary Jacobs?
Yeah, I know the name. I've never interviewed her.
Oh, you got it. She's awesome. She's come back from cancer. I don't know how many times. She's got to be, I don't know, like 50, 60. I don't even know, almost 60 or something. I mean, she is still competing and killing it. She's doing great. So, that's what I want to be.
That's
like.
What I said to you. Here's what I think. It's the only sport that I know of, because you figure baseball, football, anything like that, if you're lucky if you make it to – well, baseball, they stick around a little longer. But let's face it, football, if you make it to 25, you're lucky. I mean, the ones when you see the guys hanging around like a Montana or any of these people, they were above and beyond. But I also think their ability was extreme. But they also – you had a little bit of an angel sitting on your shoulder too to be able to last that long. But how many – unless you destroy yourself physically with weightlifting – no matter what genre you want to be in, you have the ability to change direction. Like, you've already done that. You've gone now from strong woman, even though you'll do it, but you're now into the powerlifting. You might do a physique show. All right, tell me this. How many sports allow you to do this? I mean, you and I could change genres of this stuff. I don't care. We could do it 8-10 times, whether we do it and then come back 5 years later or something. I don't see anything out there that I know of that's ever allowed you the ability to do that.
No, it develops a foundation that is like incomparable. Absolutely. I'm going to probably do Fitness America too. I'll throw some gymnastics in there.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I'll do it all. I'm going to do it all this year. It's going to be one of those year for me things,
Well, it's good. There's nothing wrong with treating yourself right. That's what you should do. You should take good care of yourself.
Heck yeah. Definitely. It definitely helps. That's for sure.
Well, it develops your training. It develops you mentally, because it allows you to go in then and lift so friggin' heavy, your head feels like it's going to pop off you, you know. And then on the other hand, you go into something that you got to get really, really ready for in a different way, you know, regardless, your success is there.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I love it. I love the sport. I mean, everybody in it. That's the other thing with this sport. You know, you go to a strongman show, nobody's really, like, mean to you. You know, they're all super supportive and cheering you on. Powerlifting meets the same thing. Shaking your hand, nice to meet you. I mean, it's also, it's a clan and, like, an accepted way of life, you know, that.
Oh, I agree with you, because I'll tell you what, since I've been doing this show, we're, like, on our 16th week now, 17th week, I've never met so many decent people, because we got bad and everything, all right? But, you know, usually the rub is always, well, weightlifters are stupid, or they're rude, or they don't know how to behave. I'll tell you what, most of these people are own a business of some form, or they're competitive like you are. You know, you got, you know, they don't realize you all have families. I have families.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm a mom. I
Right,
worship
right.
team sometimes. I teach Bible right. study, and I coach football. Yep. I mean, not football. I'm sorry. I coach hockey. I coach baseball. Yeah. I mean, I do all these other things, you know, and I'm not just a power lifter. You know?
Yeah, but you're involved. And most of these idiots that are calling people that do this type of stuff we do, you know, basically it's almost like you're barbaric. But I have no problem with that. I want to be barbaric when it's time to be barbaric. But when I got to be around, like, my 8-year-old niece, and she comes and wraps her arms around me and tells you she loves me, I'm not going to take her and throw her to the floor.
No way. And can I tell you that most of the people, our fellow meatheads, as we'll call them, you know, are the biggest teddy bears.
They are.
You get to know them, 300-400-pound guys, and you're, you know, oh, my gosh, they're scary. They're not scary. They're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful, very heartwarming people. Absolutely.
Very protective, too. I mean, I'm, you know, you're always going to be. I mean, you know, as a woman having children, you know, you don't mess with the mama lion there.
No.
But,
or anybody,
you know,
in your close circle of friends. I mean, if somebody messes with, I would be.
Exactly.
You know, I would be there and have their back, and everybody knows that, you know.
And see, I think that's all the stuff you build from weight training, because you learn that it's not just all about you. There's other people that might need your help, or other people that need your strength. And I don't mean just physically, your mental strength. And that's where I think this sport lends so much to so many people, that's the message we're trying to get out here. You know, just keep forcing it out there, because the message from this show is beginning to resonate. I'm getting emails from guys from Holland, from Germany,
absolutely.
From Italy. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, to see that the message is starting to resonate, and they're going out and looking for something more than just, well, you know, we might talk about a subject, but we've got to run now 50 commercials in between, and, you know, we'll come back to it, or, you know, maybe we're kind of losing our focus, and now we've got to find something else. So that's like the feedback I'm getting from people, and I couldn't be happier, because that's what we've always wanted to do since we started this show.
It's just spread the word and
explain
what it's really all about, and that anybody can come do this and apply what we do every day into your everyday life and be more successful as a result of what you do every day in here. It doesn't mean, like you said, that you have to be a world record holder or national champion, you know, but you can also inspire and help other people. Lost 10 pounds. Well, now somebody walks in the gym a little scared and you recognize that face. Maybe you can then turn around and help them do what you just did. And you don't have to be a national champion to do that, you know?
Not at all, because there's a lot of smart people and a lot of talented people around that don't have the gold star on the chest and say, look at me, I did it. You know, well, good for you. I applaud you. And good for you. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, don't want that notoriety, that are very good and they can help a lot of people. And I think that's what it's all about, really. I mean, you're going to gain a lot of success just from helping others. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, well, I've got to, you know, bench 800 pounds. It's like, I helped this person. Like you said, they lost 10 pounds of weight. They're feeling better about themselves. And guess what? they're going to go out and spread that off to another one, and it's going to be like a chain reaction. It's going to keep growing.
And conversely to that, just because you do, you are a national champion or a world record
right.
holder, you better answer those messages. You know, get
yep.
them on Facebook. And I must have 100
yep.
a day. I don't even know. It's nuts. The yep. thing's always going beep, 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 beep.
Yep.
But you pick
yep.
it up, and you know, can you help me with this? You know what?
Yep.
You know, Joe Schmo from India, let me take 3 minutes out of my life. Let me help you. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because you know what? I feel like you owe it. You owe it to them. Like, who are you to think that you're better than
the
average person? You should answer them and help them. Why wouldn't you respond to that request and set, you know, and help them out? I think that giving back is, you know, really important. I think that some people do kind of, you know, get caught up in the, you know, I'm awesome, I'm this, I'm that. But if you don't take the 5 seconds out of your life to answer those little instant
right.
messages or do things like this, you know, where I'm interviewing with you and spreading the word to help the sport, to
yep.
help other people, then, you know, you're missing out.
I'm with you.
Because it's more rewarding.
You're right on the money. Well, look, Danielle, it's been great having you on the show. But before we get off here, why don't you give out any information you've got, whether you got a website. I know you're on Facebook.
I am.
Do that.
Everybody is more than welcome to, you know, add
okay.
me, and I'm very receptive to that, you know. As long as you got a picture up and you don't look like one of those goofballs, I probably would. And that's a whole other topic for another show. But
okay, we can do that.
But I will respond, absolutely. And
okay.
my name is Danielle Diesel, spelt like the gas. And also,
yep.
You know, just – a couple of plugins here, if I may do so. You know, I have a sponsor now who's wonderful, Jamie Lewis from Chaos and Pain. And,
okay.
you know, he's absolutely amazing, and he's actually helped me to do even more shows and helped financially support a lot of the things that I'm doing and supplement-wise, too, and his supplements are awesome. And he's actually extended out a code to anybody that I know or friends, Facebook friends. If you type in Diesel on the website, you actually get 15% off, so...
Nice.
It's good stuff, you know.
Yeah. So what else you got? Anything else?
Yeah, and maybe a shout-out to all my trainers that kind of made this possible, you know, just everything. You know, Josh Pratt here at Just Performance Fitness, and his, you know, Just Performance Fitness is on Facebook as well, and as well as himself, and he does online training and programming and all of the above, and he's wonderful. Nick Branson is the same way. And Kelly Morgan. I also have a new coach, Ryan Lapp out of Connecticut. He's wonderful too. So I just want to, you know, thank everybody that's been helping me do all of this year, and you know, my sponsors and people like you that have helped spread the word and get more
thank
support behind
that.
My belt. And it's great.
Appreciate
what you're
that.
Doing is great, Callie.
Beck, thank you. I really appreciate
you guys are just awesome, all you guys.
Well, then we'll sign off here, and then I'll talk to you for a second. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Twitter at Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And... check out the new Motivation and Muscle website. The guy, Eric Grelou, he's my man out in Canada. Did a fabulous job, and tomorrow we're going to look over the new home site, too, the new homepage. So, Danielle, once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Eric, for having me. Have a great afternoon.
You too. For Danielle Diesel, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to say have a great afternoon, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.